Around the NFL podcast has plenty of arm talent.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a stadium overflowing with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Arm talent, one of my least favorite little combine words.
I could think of some that are less pleasant.
It's
but
like, oh, he's got some great writing talent. He's got some great hosting talent. Give me a break.
How else would you like to encompass all that goes into arm talent?
Just go back and look at my answer from when we had the same convo 2 years ago on and around the podcast, I think. I don't know.
A little later in today's show, we spoke with Daniel Jeremiah yesterday, and you'll hear that interview. And he uses the equivalent of corpo jargon, some buzzwords and describing a workout that he had personally witnessed. And there's some arm talent talk in that discussion. I had a lot of stuff to square away and talk about and address with Move the Sticks. And it was, as always, pretty contentious.
And now DJ has offended Greg with his verbiage and
no,
his word
No,
choice.
It's just that yeah. one. Just Can't that one. You guys both skate. Showed professionalism. Anger, fluid hips. It was fantastic.
Yes, this is our second show of the week from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. The Underwear Olympics, as they're known by some, will kick off a little.
That phrasing is annoying.
Should we get rid of that? It's gone. It's gone. It's over. That will kick off later in the week. We're all on airplanes tomorrow. We're here, as we always are, to cover kind of the NFL news side of things, and we're going to get into that, some headlines from around the league. But today's show is a good one because we got a lot of guests, a lot of good stuff. As I said, Move the Sticks is going to be here. We'll do some prospect talk and settle some scores. We also have Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, good dude and highly knowledgeable and plugged in. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the CBA talks. Speaking of contentious and where that's headed, and also get caught up to date with any other league happenings. Mike is super plugged in. And then we'll close the show out with a little bit of Connie Fox. She's going to come up to the suite here at Lucas Oil Stadium, and we're going to listen to the final entries for the contest, the Connie Fox theme song. So that is fun. Can't wait for that. But before we do any of that, I was going to throw it to news, but actually I want to address our show on Tuesday. Mark promised that the robe that you wore during Tuesday's show.
Yes, bathrobe.
A bathrobe. You promised you'd walk from Lucas Oil Stadium back to our hotel in that robe.
That's right.
You were true to your word. And
100%.
We were by your side the whole way back. And it did catch the eye of one notable league figure. Greg, you had the eyewitness account.
That's true. And we all sort of forgot about it immediately. Mark is so comfortable in his own skin when he's in that robe that everyone just forgot about it. No one seemed to have noticed. But as we were getting closer to our hotel, it's about a 10-minute walk. We were almost done with it. I did notice a group of 49ers personnel and John Lynch, their general manager, just like staring us down. And Wes, you noticed it too. And I like, okay. And then I like looked down because I was just like, okay, this is weird. We just made eye contact. That's enough. Looked back up, still staring. Looked back down. Looked back up, still staring. And it took me a while to realize.
Quadruple take, you called it.
It was a quadruple stare down take that he was doing. And then I realized, of course, he's staring at Mark.
Well, you naturally, I don't know if everyone does, but I'm like, oh, maybe he recognizes us. No
right.
chance he recognizes us. He's just like, why is a grown man walking through this hotel lobby in a bathrobe?
Yeah, I've learned to use the combine, you know, we're here for 3 or 4 days as an exercise in bridge burning. Like if I, you know, we live in California, if things went south with our show, maybe float up north and work for the 49ers in some capacity will not be happening.
Not anymore. You can cross that off the
list. You're that guy in the hallway, according to him. Yeah, for a second I did thought, maybe he knows the podcast.
No.
And then we had our annual St. Elmo Steakhouse. It's not about the meat. It's about the meat. And that was a great time. Ricky, did you have a good time with us?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, she did.
Greg.
The night ended very – it was a celebration. Yeah, let's.
I think we all had a really good time.
Very good time.
And I think that's where we leave it.
I think so, too. Yeah, we're all great.
Everything was great.
Went out to a nice.
So rare to hear Erica like lost for words or just short.
Borderline sheepish.
It's rare.
No. I just think that a moment like we shared together is best among friends.
Time capsule it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, and we went to a nice tavern after a place. I find during
that
combine
that was not
week,
a tavern, but
well,
yes.
It's like almost like what it's wanting to be a
it's
nightclub.
A steakhouse. It's a prime steakhouse.
I didn't see anyone eating steak there. I saw everyone
turns into a bar. Yeah.
Right. It's like flooded with sort of indie based groupies slash harpies trying to talk to like GMs and coaches and celebrities. You know, please
a lot of journos
and not us.
A lot of journos, and I won't say who the coach is just because I don't want to be a jerk, and this guy is already. Gotten thrown under the bus in his career, and I'm not going to be another person to do it. But he was with his buddy. He rolled in late. It was probably after midnight. He had a Bud Heavy, and his friend had a beer too. And this head coach was just standing at the periphery of this crowded bar. And I just think I couldn't stop looking at this coach because I was like, you're a head coach, man. You're supposed to be owning the town. Like, remember the legends of Indianapolis of Combine Week, guys like Rex Ryan holding court at the Shake Shack. Like, these guys are larger-than-life figures that have many entourages. I saw this one particular head coach just alone with his buddy waiting for somebody to talk to him, and it actually broke my heart a little bit.
Why couldn't he, if he had just been having a good time with his buddy and not even thinking any of these things?
I don't know. I just didn't love it. And I will not say who it is.
Same coach, though. I think we can say this, that we talked about on Wednesday's show, that removed the dip out of his mouth with his bare hands.
Wow.
So he was a
what a week.
Scoop and discard of the tobacco.
There is a previous event we were at where I barged into a group of coaches with a beer in my hand, I believe. And,
you're going to have to narrow that down.
Well, I'm not going to say who it was, but this man was among him, and I thought he could, with one hand, crush my entire skull and just silence me, and he could not have been nicer. So, you know, I'm not
right, –
he's
given,
not on my hit list.
Too many,
we've given the ATN subreddit enough hints. You guys try to figure it out from there. All right, let's get to it. Let's do some news.
The defenses get you to the championship. The quarterbacks win championships, and I definitely feel Dak is that quarterback.
I
here we go.
Mike McCarthy's back. You know, is it a little bit kind of like Mike McCarthy's back? I'm happy the guy's back in the league and he's getting paid nicely and he has one of the best gigs in the football world, but not the most charismatic figure. And today he spoke, one of the last few coaches at his press conference, and didn't say much about the Cowboys. But that's just a little snapshot into the fiery charisma of one Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Once told me if he was not a football coach in life, what would he be? A construction worker. And I think
totally
that kind of fits.
These sweeping generalizations about offense and defense, I think we should keep them in the 1960s, where they belong.
It's also kind of a weird statement.
Right. Why are you
defense
trying to boil it down?
Take you to the Super Bowl, but only in the Super Bowl will the quarterback win?
It's just so weird.
Okay.
Why are you taking that was out sort all of, the other
I guess he has a ring.
Football.
I don't know.
It's like basing it on your own experience, and that's it. That was kind of true of the 2010 Packers. I'll give them that.
Yeah, but they needed Aaron Rodgers to
right,
get to the Super
course,
Bowl.
Of course,
I mean, okay. Speaking of quarterbacks who hope to play in the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow, he is the big name. A lot of people that are in the know believe he will be the number one pick, the LSU Heisman Trophy winner, to the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked about it last week. There had been some speculation, and maybe, Wes, you pointed out, maybe people reading too much into some things that the young man said. And he was asked about, you know, with the draft coming up, are you somebody that would potentially throw up a roadblock a la Eli Manning if he wasn't happy going to a certain team like the Cincinnati Bengals? Here's what Joe Burrow said.
Do you have any reservations about playing for the Cincinnati Bengals?
I'll play whoever for whoever drafts me. You know, I'm just not going to be presumptuous about, you know, what they want to do. It's the draft. You guys have been covering it for a long time. You never know what's going to happen.
So that should put to bed any lingering questions about whether Burrow would go to Cincinnati if they do indeed take him as their quarterback of the future.
That was a pretty simple yes or no answer, and the answer was yes, I'll go.
We may even pressed him on it, and he's like, I'm not going to not play.
Right.
So he was clear about it. Good job by U.S. Noting that people were probably making a mountain out of a molehill. That was a media-generated story in the end.
I mean, the beast is hungry.
Isn't there another angle? And I know this kind of happened with Baker Mayfield and the Browns, Sam Darnold and the Jets. Is there's another career path where you go and you change a franchise that's been ultra moribund for decades and decades and become the player that Cincinnati will never view in a LeBron James type level. Or you go to Cincinnati and the Bengals change Joe Burrow. I mean, that can happen too, because I can't think of a team from coaching staff on down with more questions right now. I have no idea who the Bengals are.
These quarterback press conferences at the combine used to be such a big deal, especially when it was in the old location. I remember a lot of heat on the Cam Newton year, for instance. Like, how is he going to handle himself? We're not too sure about this guy. Then it's like he aced the press conference. All that stuff is kind of silly. With all that said, watching Joe Burrow, and I watched the big chunk, he just seems like the Bengals fan base is just going to absolutely love him. He has such like a cool, easy confidence, not letting things bother him. I just sort of love it.
He's custom made for Cincinnati with his personality. I mean, he has that. He's sort of a blue collar guy, but he also has a little bit of
cockiness,
a little bit of sassiness.
In a good way.
I'll just play devil's advocate. Is it possible that he said what he needed to say at this event?
Absolutely.
And he might not. He might still, because he holds cards and he might play cards still. I'll play devil's advocate
there. We could ask Mike Garafolo that later, and maybe he'll have an idea. But I do believe that people just took what he said incorrectly, because when he was talking about leverage, he really was talking, I believe his reason was what he needs to do during this pre-draft process. He has the leverage to not work out here. He has the leverage to pick and choose the teams that come to him. He doesn't have to work out for 50 teams. He doesn't have to work out here in Indianapolis. I really believe that is what he intended, and people just misunderstood.
And to Mark's point, my inclination, being from Cincinnati and following the Bengals pretty closely for so many years, is that they'll end up ruining this guy. But it's not really fair.
No, I mean, they don't say that.
Things can change.
They didn't ruin Carson Palmer. Kimo von Olhoff and shredded his knee when they had one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Good point.
And that's not the Bengals' fault. But then you look at how
Carson they ruined Palmer's, the relationship afterwards.
They ruined – yeah, right. You look at how his career ended with the Bengals.
Much of the organization is different at the top of the chain. It is not. Joe Burrow, could he bring you back to Cincinnati as a Bengals fan, Wes?
No.
Okay. Just checking in. I like to check in. You know I like to check in.
I understand that, but you can't manufacture love.
If nothing else, if he provides an entertaining style of play, maybe the Bengals could at least be a team you enjoy watching again and not rooting against.
There have been times when I've enjoyed watching the Bengals on Game Pass.
More good news for you, Wes, because I know your family members, many of them are Bengals fans. So
I love how you always go to this angle.
You know.
It's true. You've turned your back on your brothers.
My brothers don't root for the Bengals.
Mark Maskey of the Washington Post reported on Tuesday that NFL teams are strongly against renewing the instant replay rule, making pass interference reviewable. On the competition committee's offseason survey, 21 teams said they're not in favor of making the rule permanent, to 8 teams that said they are in favor of making it permanent. Hmm. As you may remember, when this rule went into effect after the Saints got screwed, the New Orleans screw job costing them a spot in Super Bowl 53, they put in the rule that you could throw a flag for pass interference. However, it was a 1-year trial balloon, and now the time has come to decide whether to make it a permanent rule or walk away and see it as a somewhat noble failure.
It made the product worse. To me, it's that simple.
It's kind of an embarrassment if they walk away. I do think that the competition committee will try hard to improve the rule and get support to vote on a new replay rule, because I don't think they just want to give up. But it sounds like this rule, the way they did it, is not coming back. They're going to have to tweak it and try to convince owners to try it a different way.
Maybe. But they were tweaking it in the middle of the season, so they've already done at least one tweak in a way.
Right?
Can we stop
unofficial
with the mid-season tweaks?
Like, right, and unofficial.
The rules in September should be the same as the rules in January.
At least the NFL is acting flexibly about this, where we can have these surveys and make changes until you get it right. Because I know the XFL, like, let's say the thing melts down in a year or two and it's gone, but you are looking at a competitive league where they're saying, we're going to make everything that troubles the NFL, we're going to use it to show our strengths. We're going to be hyper-flexible, take some age-old installed rules and just blow them up. And the NFL needs to make sure their product is perfect, and pass interference has been a devil for season after season.
In other news, by the way, who do you think our listeners can hear the person that's speaking loudly?
No way.
This?
No way.
Ricky, can you go knock some heads?
There's another podcast being taped right next door.
I can hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who has better numbers, you think? Like, who should actually be talking and who should be just listening?
I think they're interviewing Jordan Palmer right now.
Oh. All right, well.
So,
I guess that we attempted to get, so we were outmoted there.
We never put in a formal request.
I mean, we should keep it down, but are you trying to say that as if, like, that's a huge get or something?
Whoa. No, I'm just saying I'm not going to go knock skulls.
All right, let's move on. Baker Mayfield. Oh, Baker, you had such a tough season in 2019, and how do you get better? Well, you got a new coaching staff that's good, and you wipe away all the hype and buildup that seemed to work against the Browns. Well, you also, your figure, maybe a little bit plump. As it turns out, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield plans to be slimmer and faster in 2020. Rappaport added that Mayfield put on some weight last year to bulk up, and he lost some quickness. So we know, Wes, you talk about it a lot, where the league's going. Your quarterback's got to be able to move, make plays off – what is it?
Off schedule.
Off-schedule plays. And maybe Baker – did you notice that, Mark, that he wasn't able to make some of the plays he made as a rookie off schedule and instead was being dragged down in the backfield?
I mean, I think that absolutely was apparent from the opening week Titans loss, where a combination of pass pressure and general guidelessness, the whole offense seemed to lack a map from week one through the end of the year. And Baker Mayfield's performance was lesser than year one in every single category, and it kind of worries me, because I'd say he's one more ultra mediocre season away from a lot of big questions being asked again in Cleveland at that position. That said, I remember when Russell Wilson shed some weight and became more lithe and able to move quicker, and it helped him have an uptick season. I think Baker Mayfield was a combination of not quite taking his role as seriously as someone like a Tom Brady would last year, combined with a team in chaos that on a weekly basis did not put him in a great position to succeed. So that's the kind of thing you could say bounce back campaign potentially if all these things go right. But a lot more question marks around Baker Mayfield than I ever could have imagined when we were talking about him a year ago. A
little Rubenesque. Little Zop.
Well, he didn't get big and thick with muscle. He just kind of looks like Dan. You saw him at the Super Bowl. Normal dude, right?
Yeah, at a one of those parties, and he does strike you. That's one thing we all know, and it was maybe the only major knock on him coming out of college was his size. That he's not a big guy. He's not tall. He just looked strikingly normcore. Is that what I said earlier today, Ricky?
Which is, you could describe us that way.
He looked like in a sea of people at that party, looked like any other guy. And covering our league, or this league, excuse me, covering this league, quarterbacks do not look like average people. So what he has to work on, I guess, is just carving that body up a little bit, getting a little shredded, and maybe taking it a little more. Maybe
like Ben Roethlisberger, not a beautiful body, but he has the size sort of make up.
It's like carved out of a grassy mountain.
Mayfield is never going to be a guy that's going to easily see over his line and things like that. So he needs, I would think, everything else. He's got to check all the boxes physically.
Get that bod tight.
All right. We have to do that too, Mark. It's
one of the only traits that I share with any professional quarterback, in this case with Baker Mayfield, is the body needs some work.
This is body season now.
Get me out of this. It's snowing outside. Get me back to L.A. and get me on the streets.
Out of the season, you get past the Super Bowl, then you get past the combine, and then you can start working on a little self-care a little bit. and paying a little bit more attention to what you eat. You know, you exercise a little bit more. This is something I usually have my best bod moments from really post combine till about September, and then things start rolling downhill. So it's bod season.
Well, very similar to the track record like Eric Mangini had as coach in the league.
It's
I would
a tough
say.
Season.
Right.
It's a long season.
If you use that off season to only indulge in the you know, the sweeter things, your next football season will see you looking like
Rex
an orb.
Ryan. Early period Rex Ryan. All right, moving on. Tua. How do you pronounce his last name again? What did we come down with?
Tongo Vailoa.
Right? Nice.
All right, I'm going to go with Tua for now. He continues to be on the right track physically. He had that terrible hip injury that ended his college career at Alabama prematurely. There was concern at the time that it could be a type of injury that could really hamper him and cost him dearly as a prospect. Well, everything we're hearing back is that his MRIs are clean, and he is a guy that, once he goes through, assuming he goes through the pre-draft process and the workouts and, you know, he's not working out here, right?
No.
But he will have, I assume, a pro day if his body is able to do that in time. And then if that alleviates fears about him physically, he's going to be a guy you think is a top 10 pick. And it led me to just check in on the draft board. And I just want to see that. I want to check out this top 10. Let's look at it. With Tua potentially healthy and looking like a guy who's going
to
be.
Hoping to have a pro day April 9th.
April 9th. Okay.
Mark, what have we learned? He's going top three, right? He's a quarterback.
Absolutely.
He's going top
Someone
three.
Will trade up for him.
Well, you have Cincinnati at one, and let's say that's where Burrow goes. You have the Redskins at two. Now, they are playing coy and saying, you know, we're open for business potentially, but this Chase Young guy. Everything we're hearing is that he's a potential generational edge talent.
But I think in a perfect world, like the most perfect world, you know, they – who knows? They could trade to three like San Francisco did, and they tricked old Chicago into giving up some
– tricked old Chicago.
Extra picks. I mean, they took Solomon Thomas, so it didn't
old.
Work out that great.
but let's say they stay put and take Young. Three, the Lions, we've talked about them. They seem like a team that could absolutely – do business, and a team trades into that spot and perhaps takes Tua. And then you're seeing some mocks. I just saw Bucky's latest mock. He has Tua going to the Dolphins at five, which would be kind of funny because all the hand-wringing and all the burying of the Dolphins, which was they kind of earned that bury job. But they might end up not having a historically bad season and getting the guy they wanted all along or wanted – you know, last September, it could work out that way.
Well, the medicals on Tua have been very positive, and let's say the next couple of months just were glowing in terms of his workouts and everything else. Are we putting it at 0% chance that the Bengals would ever be wooed into the Tua scenario? Is it zero? Is it we're just clocking
no.
Burrow to him? No questions asked at this point?
I agree with you. You should ask the question. Because
ask the question.
The Bengals are an unpredictable franchise.
Did anybody see Joe Burrow's hands? 9 inches. What a disgrace.
I mean, we got Mike Garofolo just walked in the room. What if we just extend this convo? We ask that question to Mike and get that whole thing going.
Oh, let's get a headset on Garofolo. Let's fly. All right, he's got the headset on. Now we can ask him hand size. Be honest. It doesn't change how we feel about you. 7 inches, 7 1/4.
I don't know. I'm curious myself. How long is an iPhone 8 Plus? Because I'm more than that.
We got to figure this out. We should. You know what? We should measure.
A dollar bill is 6 inches, right?
He pulls out a 20, by the way. Yeah. That was just a show of power. Yeah. You'll take out a single.
I'm all out of hundreds.
I'm a TV guy. I take out my 20.
I'm all out of hundreds.
You're working with about 8 inches over there.
Did you introduce me? Do people know? Yeah, I guess
this is Mike Garofolo, ladies and gentlemen.
So I'm 6 inches and a thumb, okay?
Well, you've really learned a lot about podcasting and hosting as one of the unnamed friends on Rap Sheet and Friends.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know.
The Rap Sheet Has Friends podcast,
yeah.
Which Mike Garofolo
but the
hosts.
Beauty,
ostensibly.
The beauty of it is it gives me cover, right? When something goes wrong, well, it's not my problem. It's Ian's podcast. Whereas if your name is on the podcast.
That's true.
You know, a lot of responsibility falls on you.
Excuse me. It's the Rap Sheet Has Friends
yes.
podcast.
With the question mark, yeah.
All right. Mike.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us. You're plugged in. You get it. And we have to – what we were just talking some quarterback stuff with obviously the draft and everything. We'll start with – where do you want to start, Mark?
Well, I think we were talking about Tua and, you know, the medicals look great. And if he were to have a glowing lead up to the draft, is there any percentage chance, based on what you're hearing from these bigwigs all over the place, that the Bengals could ever, you know, move off the Joe Burrow fascination and even – contemplate taking Tua at first overall?
I would think not. As someone explained to me this morning, and not really someone in the Bengals decision-making process, but close enough, said that...
Mike Brown.
no one with the last name Brown. Said if we don't take Burrow, they're going to burn the stadium down, basically. I mean,
doing them a favor.
It didn't sound like
they haven't burned it down yet.
Yeah, it didn't. Well, they're not that kind of a fan base, I don't think. So I think that was a bit overstated.
Have you seen the beer cans they threw on Ben Roethlisberger's lifeless body when they were hauling him off the field?
Yes, and I remember a certain pep talk by one Sam Weish at one point too.
let's listen to that.
Yeah.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field point them out? Get them out of here. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
I think it's a very, very, very small percentage chance. And the thing with Tua is he's my friend. Contractually, he's my friend, Ian Rappaport.
and he's the only friends he has. Sources and contractual friends.
He's reported a lot of glowing medical things on Tua, which is great. But it's still going to be a thing. It's whoever winds up taking Tua is taking a risk at some point, medical risk.
But at least if you're the Redskins, and Ron Rivera spoke Wednesday, today, you know, that they're open for business at number two. It does raise the, you know, possibility that someone is more likely to give up a huge offer, forget about going to three, to get to at two with the Redskins.
Yeah, and I think Rivera is playing the game. I think if they truly, honestly were going to go quarterback, you wouldn't know about it. It's like getting whacked by the mob. You'd never hear anything. It's Tony Soprano.
If the Redskins were going to go quarterback.
If the Redskins were going to go quarterback, yeah. So the fact that they're doing it now is the whole, hey, anybody want to play? And Rivera was asked about, you know, is there a fallback scenario here for you where you would trade out of that spot? And he paused and said, yeah, but it's probably not very realistic. So I think that he's playing the game in a number of ways. I still think they wind up with Chase Young. But it also gives you a little bit of a kick in the pants if you're Dwayne Haskins, to know that. And there's a lot of that going on around the league right now with Mike Mayock saying, you know, if we can get better at quarterback, we'll get better. We like Derek Carr a lot. There's a lot of motivational ploys, certainly in Tampa Bay right now.
A lot of pants kicking.
Yeah, oh yeah, kicking them. And the thing with Haskins, and I got killed for this last year. I said, you know, there's talk about he's got to get in that playbook more. He's got to be in the facility more. He's got to do it. Well, Doug Williams last week comes out and says, if I'm Dwayne Haskins, I got to be in that building. He better be there till they kick him out of there, number one. And then you got Rivera today talking about how great it's been so far for him to show up at the facility, make his rounds, and see Dwayne Haskins in the weight room, see Dwayne Haskins in the meeting. Now, granted, Rivera wasn't there last year, but it's clear that he knows what the reputation is and what Haskins needs to do here in this offseason.
Less selfies, more grinding.
Yeah.
That was subtle score settling by you going back to point out you had it right.
It's the right move.
As Rappaport, way too many Rappaport references, but as Rappaport likes to say, the mean streets of Scoop Town, there are rules and there are...
is that a real thing?
It is.
Are those the only mean streets he's ever seen?
Scoop Town population, what, like 30 maybe?
I guess I've written down here, nicest insider, ? Because I kind of view, you know, a lot of these guys very cutthroat. They'd probably... take each other out if they were given a chance. You've always struck me as a kinder person, but I'm questioning that to some degree.
Well, I feel like my cover's been blown in the last minute here. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a subtle twisting of the knife, and they don't forget that I said this later. And there's some things that I tend to carry with me, and some things that I just kind of go, whatever. But nothing bothers me more than the guy that goes, well, as I reported months ago. As I told you.
How about the guy when, like, news happens and then he's like, well, I wrote this article 2.5 years ago about how good this linebacker group is. Like, hey, no one cares about your old article.
I think
article.
We've all done that on this podcast, well, though.
So what's funny.
Pipe down a little bit.
What's funny is I saw the opposite recently. I saw a guy. Let me see if I can remember the details of it. So I said something about. Who the hell was it? It was DK Metcalf. And I said, I will never understand why DK Metcalf went as low as he did. And another reporter, who shall remain nameless, is a friend of mine, basically came after me and was like, well, you're forgetting it, this and this and this and this. And I'm thinking, he's telling on himself. So I went back and found stuff that he had written saying that DK Metcalf probably, not his own opinion, but people he talked to around the league. And I'm thinking, you dummy, you're telling on yourself. Nobody's sitting there saying, oh, well, this guy wrote all this stuff before the draft, because nobody remembers. So that was the opposite of it. I feel like that was not very productive of that person. But I love him, and I'll buy him a beer later.
There you go.
That's not Rap Sheet.
No.
Okay. Let's talk CBA, because you are a good point guy on this. And
yeah.
I think, as we've talked about on the show, it is in the best interest of everyone, from fans, the media, that this gets done. But will it get done? We shall see, because player representatives voted to send a new deal that's already been approved by the owners that includes a 17-game season to the full union membership. You need a simple majority of some 2,000 players to accept the agreement for it to go into effect this year. Now, we've been seeing bubbling up today on Twitter players that are against this deal, saying it's got to be a negative vote and a no vote, and Russell Wilson, we saw, that's a prominent name. And then we saw one of the Pouncey boys, Marquise, was it?
One of the Pouncey boys.
Let's listen in on a video message he put out on social. Let's count the bleeps.
Man, this is so f***ing crazy, man. I vote no. That our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that's all f***ing bullshit. That they ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all heard for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the f*** up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bullshit-ass deal just so these motherfuckers sitting there president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You didn't get shit done.
12.
But should there have been 13?
Okay.
Because ass made it through there.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed that.
That's a fair point.
We allow ass on this program.
Not a kindler, gentler Pouncey brother offering help to other players. I hear
speaking
the sailor's language, but
yeah,
you know.
I do find it interesting that his plan is for the veterans to float the younger guys.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
That will sustain itself,
mind you.
They should all go straight to the Pouncey brothers and see how that goes.
So let's review the tape here. So Pouncey's counter proposal was. Oh, wait, that's right. There was nothing in there of substance. And don't worry, young guys. The older guys are going to take care of you. I just don't see the logic that's going to
work. But it might not pass if the player representatives only voted 17-14 in favor. So all you need is a majority in that. You know, in that group of people, it was a slight majority. It seems like it's going to be a close vote.
It's very interesting because the initial knee-jerk reaction was this thing's going to get passed. There's going to be no problem once you go to the majority. These guys are going to be like, all right, so we get to keep playing football and we get a little bit more money. Cool. Vote yes, blah, 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 whatever. But a lot of times now these guys might be influenced by what they're saying. Oh, well, if Russell Wilson's against it, if Aaron Rodgers is against it, if J.J. Watt's against it, oh, maybe I should be against it because it's kind of they figure that these guys are a little bit more plugged in. I will say this. Look, the NFLPA went to this, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds because nothing makes people's eyes roll in their heads more than revenue splits. But the PA went into this with the intention, and this is what you hear from the league, of really working for the lower end of their pay scale. I've heard estimates of anywhere from 60 to 70% of guys in the league, players, are either rookie deals or minimum salary deals. So guys in the lower end of the pay scale. And they're going to get, the low end's going to get like a $90,000 pay bump on the minimum salary. Now, I had an agent say, "Oh, big whoop! They got 90,000 more for a play." That's a lot of money to that guy. Okay,
for especially a guy making 500.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, do the math on it, right? And on top of that, he's going to get other escalators that don't exist now in the current. There's basically going to be more money for that guy. So if he really does look at what's coming his way, I would think you're going to have many more yes votes than no votes from those guys, and that should make this thing easily pass.
I know there's I've read stuff about, you know, the TV deal pending, that contract, the Trump election. You want to get this thing done sooner than later. But is there any scenario where we get like a 19-month holdout, and while you're in front of Park Avenue, I'm at like a semester at sea doing something that I want to do?
They don't offer that for
men of your age.
Yeah.
The last time.
Learn in school.
He's
just kind of like, "Hey, Princeton undergrads, what's going on?"
Well, you could study abroad, but it's a different – there's a – never mind.
Okay.
The last time this happened in 2011, I got married. I'm not saying that's going to happen again. It's always possible. I never know when I'm going to come home and the locks are going to be changed.
Dear John letter.
It was great. It was very convenient for me because we got married in March. We actually went on two honeymoons. Now I'm really sounding bougie.
Wow. Humble brag.
Really bougie. I'm sorry.
Now he's holding $100 bills.
It's pertinent to the story, though.
Yes.
We go away on one honeymoon. I come back. I say,
Rapsy has friends podcast. Not a lot of listeners, but a lot of money. A lot of money.
Well, let me calculate what we got last week off of that. Oh, it's 100% of zero from the week before.
Ooh,
yes, that's great.
Sorry.
Tough sitch.
It was great because I kept leaving and coming back and saying, "What happened?" Nothing. Didn't miss anything. I wasn't covering the league. I was covering one team. Now, it would be different now. I don't want to stand on a corner is what I'm saying. I'm glad that you want to do the
Albert Breer Memorial role.
That's Bert Breer's corner.
So Albert Breer, love him to death, stands on a street corner for 6 months, comes back, and gets these – once the lockout was settled, there's all of a sudden these tweets. Like, he may have been trending. I don't even know if we knew trending back then. He may have been trending on Twitter because people were like, "Oh, fantastic job, Albert Breer. So great, whatever." And Steve Politi, my colleague at the time at the Star Ledger, tweets out – and I'll never forget this tweet. I actually went and found it a couple of days ago and sent it to him. He tweets out, "I'm sorry, did I miss something? Did Albert Breer just come back from the front lines of Afghanistan?" And I'm like, dude, that was harsh, but actually kind of funny. And I just found it and sent it again.
Wow.
I said, "Hopefully you're not tweeting this about me in a year."
It was
a very hot summer, as I
recall.
Well, that's the thing about this negotiation. Everyone's paying attention to it on a day-by-day basis, but compared to last time around or almost any time around, it's 99% done, and they're way ahead of schedule. It really isn't something that probably needs to be overly stressed about because so much has been agreed to. The players who are upset about it, I mean, they're upset with the union who's been working like hard and kind of getting their, you know, good points into the deal as much as they can for 6 months. They've been negotiating this deal. It's their deal.
But what have those players, those dissenters, been doing for the last 6 months?
Playing football. Yeah.
So they kind of came in and were like, "All right, cool. Where are we? What about this thing that we were talking about back then? Yeah, well, that didn't fly. Well, what about this? What about the, you know?" So they
it's
feel
a lot
like
of catch up now.
Yeah, yeah. And saying, "Well, we got to go back." No. We already talked about that. You guys were.
And like your podcast, these are volunteer jobs. These team leaders.
Thank you for reminding me.
Percentage chance by 3 years from now.
Sessler with the hammer drop.
That's not who I am.
17 game season percentage.
100.
There's no way it doesn't happen.
No way.
All right.
And it benefits the players. I mean, is one more game really going to take that much off of them? More wear and tear and those kinds of things? I don't think.
How did 16 get to be the only number that works? That's what I want.
17?
No, there's this idea that 17 is too brutal for the players, but how did 16 get to be the only number that worked?
But
then, it used to be 14.
10 years
used to
from
be
now,
12.
Yeah.
10 years from now, when there's another CBA bargaining, it's like, how stupid is it that we did an odd number? We got to go to 18.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's going to be the next thing.
Of course. That was the whole idea. I mean, it's basically like losing in the wild card round every single year. You are the Marvin Lewis Bengals. The entire NFL is the Marvin Lewis Bengals. It's like the Patriots have been playing a 20-game season, you know,
somebody
19
call,
every single year.
Somebody call Marvin and calculate what all those games took off of his coaching career. Took off of his life, really. Why don't we figure it all out?
Or contact Bengals fans and see how many Marvin Lewis took off their life.
There you go.
Mike, you've said it all. I mean, you're a busy man, and still you made it up to suite 13A/B.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
I think I'm in B. If I lean back, I'm in B. If I sit forward, I'm in A.
Partly in B.
While you're here, a quick one.
Yeah.
Like, just give us which teams you think are going to go bananas in free agency.
Seahawks.
I just want to know this.
Who's going to win the offseason?
Yeah, but I say Seahawks, but if they re-sign Jadeveon Clowney and Jaren Reed, that doesn't really count.
That counts.
Right? Because it's
or
their
like
own guys.
Eagles, maybe? Colts, maybe?
I could see the Eagles being aggressive. I don't see the Colts being that aggressive. I could be wrong about that.
Is Rivers going there?
Saw a report today about that it's going to happen, Rivers to the Colts. Not sure about the source, but.
Put me down for no.
Really? Mm.
Yeah. Put me down for no.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'll see if I can come back with the info on who I think it's going
to
be.
To us first.
Oh, they're getting someone
sure.
else.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Somebody's got to.
Do you have a one wild like QB carousel prediction or a thing that you think could happen? That
one wild one? Wild would be Brady winding up somewhere other than New England to me. One wild one. Teddy Bridgewater in Tampa, maybe? Is that wild?
No, but that's good. I like it.
Nothing about
Derek
Teddy.
Derek Carr moving on.
Nothing, wild,
nothing about Teddy is wild, yeah. Right.
I mean, the Chargers can't honestly be going with Tyrod Taylor. They've got to have something up their sleeve.
Tyrod and Justin Herbert, maybe? You know? Now all of a sudden it makes a little sense, right?
Yeah.
Mike Garafolo, he is, of course, NFL Network reporter extraordinaire, also the co-host of GMFB Weekend with Colleen Wolf. Who is in the background? That's her.
She's screaming. I never knew Colleen to be a woo girl.
She's a big one.
Yeah.
Big woo girl. Mike, thank you for joining us, and come on again in the not-too-distant future. We love having you.
How about a free agency special? We'll make that happen.
Ooh, absolutely. Fun. All right. Mike Garafolo. All right, there he goes, Mike Garafolo. Always good info with Mike. And before we throw it to move the sticks to settle some scores and do a little Joe Burrow talk, and it was a nice conversation with Mike. We do need to do something. We had teased a Peter Schrager, Mark Sessler update on yesterday's show, but we didn't get around to it. So I think none of us know what happened between you and Pete when apparently you crossed paths here in Indianapolis. But just a reminder that last week Mark put out his NFL media personality power rankings, and three members of Good Morning Football were on that list. Connor Orr, who sadly fell ill with the flu this week and could not make it out to Indy and couldn't join us at Steak Night or Nikki Blaine's Crushing. And it also, of course, Atlanta Journal-Constitution's legendary beat scribe.
D. Orlando Ledbetter.
Yeah. All right. Pete, not on the list. And it made waves and social. You saw people, you know, tagging him. And it seemed like the start of a potential beef.
Well, and some people, you know, correctly or incorrectly, it's up to you to decide. Noted how upset Mark, you know, was that he was not the most respected member of the Around the NFL podcast, according to Schrager, and it seemed like a very one-to-one response.
Well, so that was
what happened?
Well, that was the last time that I saw Peter Schrager was out poolside.
Poolside.
When I asked the question to him, which one of
last
us
last spring?
Don't ask
do
the question if you don't
most?
Want the answer.
Well, and I did not like the answer at all because it was formulaic, his answer. And
but then you asked again. The next time he was on our show, about a month and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Right, and that was by phone. No, in that incident, he...
He didn't do a power ranking.
No, he gave a review of our on-air network show, and I had created and put a lot of heart and time into a little two-minute ditty called Operation Dirt Nap, and he basically said he was watching on an airplane, had no idea what was happening. That's
right.
How he described it.
Which
my,
really
my
got
handler.
You in.
Well,
yes.
It was, you know, part A, part B. So I have not seen him since. This heat's bubbled up. And, you know, it was raining a couple days here. The sun refuses to come out into the sky in this city. I'm not sure what the deal is there. But I'm getting into an elevator.
Basic weather pattern. It just rolled in and it's going to roll out.
Cloudy.
Yeah.
Got into an elevator in our hotel. And, you know, it's one of those scenarios where I can hear someone rushing towards the elevator door as it's shutting close and slam close. And as, you know, with about 3 or 4 inches, I see the form of Peter Schrager trying to get into my elevator holding an umbrella. And so
He's a tall guy, too. He's a big guy. He's probably got you by about 4 to 5 inches, I'd guess.
Maybe less. I don't want to. I'm not going to oversell that.
Or more.
But, and so, you know, my first inclination is, had it been anyone else, I need to immediately open that door. And so, but it's, you know, it is Peter Schrager, and that was a very awkward moment because we made eye contact, and I don't know what he knows about this so-called feud that we're in.
Oh, that's it?
So, well, no. So okay. Then I'm looking at the bank of buttons on the elevator, and there's like 600 of them, and I'm like waging war with this thing and finally find the one that has the two arrows going in opposite directions so that the door opens.
Gotcha.
And then Schrager is standing there. And we look at
face
each other.
Face to with face. Your enemy.
There's no one else on the elevator. He comes in, and, you know, he's coming in from out of the rain. And he's like, hey, what is this? Good to see you, but what is going on with this feud, this thing I'm caring about on Twitter? He's like, I haven't listened to the show in quite some time, I believe were the words. He didn't mean it in a malicious sense the way that we would.
I believe he was on vacation as well.
Yeah, he was out of the loop. And so
at the time of your hit piece.
Right, and so I tried to explain to him. I said, listen, you know, Peter, and it's like I could not get to the 8th floor quick enough for me to get out of the elevator. And I, you know, and I'm saying to him, things are fine. It's dust in the wind. You know,
Did you play it as a, you told him it was a manufactured joke? Or
what
did you tell him the truth that it actually comes from a very real place?
I don't want to, like, sit in a feud with someone. So I viewed it as a chance to kind of reconnect, if we've ever been connected, and bury the hatchet.
Over, like, the 37 seconds before the 8th
floor. Yeah, that's a quick trip.
The door opens.
It's very efficient elevator.
Well, and I had to move. So the door opens, and as I get out on my 8th floor and I'm turning around and the door's closing on his face, I don't know what came out of my mouth. I just said, love you, bro. And I walked back to my room, and that was just an incredibly awkward meeting. But he couldn't have been nicer. So I will say that internally I'm feeling a little bit
the feud. You know what else? You now have him totally off balance. Cause
love you, bro.
Love you, bro. He's like, where is this guy coming from?
Well,
and sometimes I feel that with you. So imagine somebody that doesn't know you as well totally discombobulated.
It is concerning.
I have an update of my own. I randomly shared an elevator with Peter Schrager
today,
too.
How many floors?
Too.
What's this guy just hanging out at the elevator bank?
And what, he cradled you like a baby, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was eight floors. I'm on the same floor as Mark. No cradling. But he did ask. Hey, he asked similarly. I think he was trying to just see where did it come from, or was it in fun, or were you actually?
It is squarely on Pete's radar.
And I did mention the genesis of it, that, you know, it came from when he had asked that question. And
as you were spooning on the floor of the elevator.
And he's like, well, I didn't do any power rankings. He's like, I didn't rank him last or anything like that.
Well, I think it's pretty clear where I ranked.
Greg couldn't wait to give the context to Pete again. You know, remember when they asked, like, who you respected the most, and you said me without even a beat? Do you remember that? You remember that, Pete? Remember that? Remember that? Remember that?
Actually, I don't even know if I walked through all this. It was about a 10-second ride, so there wasn't too much to it. And I said it was all in good fun and having a little fun.
I find it odd in an annoying sense that we both were in solo elevator rides, and you had the chance to reframe history.
I squashed it. I thought. I mean, even more so. He said no. It was all in silly fun.
The only reason Dan and I don't have Peter Schrager elevator stories is because Greg nipped it in the bud. He would have been there today waiting for me and Dan to figure out what was going on.
And I do feel, again, as host of the show, I do feel a responsibility to get Pete on the show to close this loop, because there just seems to be a little bit more to address here between Mark and Peter directly. So I'm going to effort toward that with my producer, Erica.
Love you, bro.
Love you, bro. All right, let's get to it. We spoke with Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. Here it is. All right, here we are at Lucas Oil Stadium in a very spacious suite, because we are with the Shield and we are with the man of the hour, the guy who basically, once it's Danny Jeremiah draft season, The ego is just out of control, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But first, to be
nice, let's get right to it.
As the host of the show, let me introduce Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. Move the Sticks, to the Around the NFL podcast.
Well, first of all, it's nice to see that Sessler dressed up for the occasion. So that's really welcoming. You know, I feel like you're stepping up your game when you come on the big ATN pod. And part of that is in your appearance. And it's challenging, I'll put it that way.
You probably already know everything that we don't about this, but the whispers about moving the combine away from Indianapolis are untenable to me, because it's a tunnel system that connects us. I could walk right over from the room wearing the bathrobe from the rim.
Mark has hit the level of madness where he is, yes, wearing a bathrobe in public, and I imagine this is something that will stay on tonight at St. Elmo and maybe for the rest of the week.
I think
here.
It's like my new look, like look heading into my 50s and beyond.
The way you can make that work, though, is you can get like some Velcro with Miyagi-Do karate, and just every hotel you go to, you just use that robe, slap that thing on the back, and they think you're on. You got your gi on. You're on your way to a tournament.
You're an idea man. I like it.
Daniel Jeremiah, you and I, as always, have an issue. And this one, I want to get to it because we're going to get into some combine talk. And
I think Dan doesn't even look at you while he's talking trash about you.
We're going to get into all that. But I just want to start with how this trip began, which was, let's just say what it was, like a very bad foot we got off on. Because at LAX, I get on the plane immediately. Uh-oh, bad sign. There's no air conditioning on the plane. There's going to be a delay. And it turns out we were sitting on the plane for an hour and a half before it took off. But who do I see as I get onto the plane right there in first class, Daniel Jeremiah? And I'm going to tell you something. Your agent did a nice job. Your agent got you first class booked into your written into your contract. I have no issue with that. But it was the self-satisfied smirk that you had as all of your colleagues, me, Charlie Uke, David Ely, just a parade of people walked by you. How proud you were of yourself that you were seated in this giant leather chair while the rest of us headed back to the meat grinder.
It's funny because I don't even remember you getting on the plane, but it could have been the flight attendant was taking drinks before the plane took off. It could have been the conversation I was engaged with Sean McVay, who was sitting next to me. I don't recall, but I really didn't even remember you getting on the plane. I don't know why you would be coming to Indianapolis in the first place for the combine, but then I log on social media, and who's lobbing shots from the bathroom in the back? The Hanses.
Well, here's the other thing. So, like I said, there was some type of issue with the heating and cooling. So we're sitting on the tarmac, and this is what Jeremiah does. He's a nice guy to your face, but the wheels are always turning. He's leaning over into the middle of the row, talking to Sean McVay, Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, is to his right, and he wants me to see him, comfortable with his champagne and his big fluffy chair and his conversation with one of the great minds of football. And you didn't care how long we were sitting on that tarmac because you felt fine.
I did feel comfortable, but you're not telling the rest of the story because you lobbed the tweet.
Yep.
Take your shot.
And I did.
Yep. I made sure we were at a comfortable altitude and the fasten seatbelt sign was off and ventured out into the back to say hello to my good friend Dan. I can't find him anywhere. I'm going up and down the aisles. I'm like, this guy's either been in the bathroom for 20 minutes. I don't know where he is. And then all of a sudden I asked Charlie Uke and everybody. I'm like, well, I see this guy who's asleep literally with his forehead on the seat
in
front of him.
Oh, that's Dan.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really? And then dead asleep. And so I did what any friend would do. I woke him up and said sorry and kept moving.
He woke me up.
He was dead asleep. I shook him, Greg, like that. And he looks up and go, oh, were you sleeping? And he looks at me and I just kept walking.
I struggled to sleep on planes. And it was a harrowing lead up to getting into the air. For you to wake me up like that, that was cruel. I have to say.
Dan, though, one question. Are you more annoyed that he was put into first class to begin with, or that you weren't? I can't tell if this is a status issue with him or you, or a combo.
It's not so much that. It's, first of all, there was only one. This was a plane. It was the only direct flight from L.A. to Indianapolis. He was the only NFL media personnel in first class. And I'm talking, there are higher-ups in the shadowy league figure sector that were in coach.
Yeah, but I measure higher-ups by that paycheck. And we don't have any reporting on this, but we know that an NFL team – we know multiple NFL teams came after this guy a few years ago to work in that front office. So it's not cheap.
Your nickname
to
leverage.
Stay in the move the
True
sticks
story.
Business.
Because I can transition us right into the combine with this answer because having been on the road as a scout for 8 years and having – been in cars driving straight from Boise, Idaho back home to Southern California and driving out to El Paso and then being stuck on great company, Southwest flights, but in not necessarily the best position on some of those Southwest flights. When I had the first opportunity to redo my contract at the network, my agent said, okay, this is kind of what we're looking at. And I said, look, I just want first class. Like, if you can just get first class in the contract, I don't even just – you figure the rest of it out. But that's that was the one thing I fought for. Mm. We're in a labor dispute right now. I died on the hill of I will have first class after all those Hampton Inn stays and uncomfortable drives. Nothing
move.
Against Hampton Inns, but lovely establishment.
Nice place.
You get a nice cookie.
How many major
front,
corporations are you going to, you know, hand little cookies to? Mark, to answer your question, no issues with the first class. Ultimately,
okay.
it was the smirk. And it was the lean over and, hey, look at me. I'm a star.
So you thought while he was speaking to McVay, yeah, he's somewhat paying attention to one of the more interesting offensive minds in the league. But he's mostly just thinking about how does this impact Dan Hansis?
Yeah, I would say that would be what
I
it
had
is.
To pretend that I couldn't hear Coach the entire flight so I could lean in closer and just look back and over my shoulder. Nah, come on.
All right, we should talk some football with you because to be serious for a second, you are one of the biggest names at this event now, which is cool because certain people, we've been at the company long enough where I remember when Move the Sticks was a guy kind of, you know, on the rise a little bit. But now you've reached this place where people are seeking you out. They want you at all times. And I just want to ask one question just before we get into some prospect talk. Do you sense coaches, GMs, other high-ranking league personnel, some kissing up to Daniel Jeremiah at this stage of your career now that you've hit this level?
No, I wouldn't say a lot of that, but I'll tell you there's surreal moments because you know a lot of these guys from having worked with them in different teams and you've got your friends in the league, but it's still – I can remember – this is kind of a weird story, but about 3 years ago down there in that concourse, we were in between drills or something. I had a little break, so I went to the restroom, and Jason Garrett walked in at the time, coach of the Cowboys, and said, and called me by name. And I just remember being, you know, as somebody who grew up was a Cowboy fan growing up as a kid. And I was like, the head coach of the Cowboys kind of knows you. It was a weird moment. And then I thought, you know, I should probably just go to the bathroom. This is really a bizarre situation. But
was he clapping? Was he like, Daniel.
Great job at the urinal, Daniel.
We heard this up. Here, we got to go.
You were on Good Morning Football this morning. I checked that out. Thought it was interesting because, of course, Joe Burrow is what everyone is talking about at the quarterback position, and you actually had a chance to check him out, and you watched him work out, you spoke with him, and you think this dude is real deal Holyfield star, potential superstar, right?
Well, yeah, he just doesn't have a huge arm. Like you say, what's right with him? And I can go on the laundry list of things that are what right with him, and he's got the best pocket awareness of anybody that I've seen, just his comfort and feel inside the pocket. He's got this his superpower is his vision. And they did a nice job, and we talked about it, of usually just five-man protection, get everybody out into the route, and this guy can see the entire field. Where so much in college football, you depending on the safety, if they're in a single high or two high look, you work one side or the other. This guy can take a snapshot of the whole field, and if you have a breakdown in coverage, he's going to find it right now. So his pocket awareness, his vision, and then his ability to accurately throw the football, they're off the charts. Now, I watched him work out with Sam Darnold, who's got a little bit stronger arm than him.
Yeah, he does.
Josh Allen's got a lot stronger arm than him, who was out there, who's got a huge arm. Kyle Allen was out there as well. So he's not going to, you know, to use Jordan Palmer's phrase, he's not a driving range quarterback. You're not going to go out to the driving range and watch this kid throw and be like, wow. But he said he's going to shoot 68 once you get on the course, and that's kind of who he is.
Well, you know, we are kind of plugged out of college football during the season. We're not paying attention. So
treat us like noobs
when I ask this question.
Yeah.
Something like, what's the difference between Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy?
So Jerry Judy's a more polished route runner, a little bit better in his release, a little bit better at the top of his route when he has to work and get back downhill. Ruggs is ridiculously explosive. He's more than likely going to be the fastest player here. Ruggs has got better hands, which is unusual. Normally, you marry the speed and that those type of guys, traditionally, you sacrifice some of the hands. You think of like Bashaud Perriman, some of those type of players. Ted Ginn, another example. This guy has that level of speed. He dropped one ball last year. So he's got great hands. He's just not as refined as a route runner. But you've seen it. You know, you look at Tyreek Hill, that's going to be the template for him of ways to get him the football right now. And we had a chance to talk to Chris Ballard earlier today, and he was mentioning how that was – Tyreek Hill's initial role was the Deebo Samuel role for the 49ers. It's only grown and evolved into him being, you know, that every down wide receiver, run every route on the tree.
Well, he's got a Paris Campbell who's
– And I mentioned that to him, and I said that you can use Paris in that Deebo role. You know, you got to keep him healthy and get him out there. But to me, that's what you get with Ruggs. And I said it's a three-man race to be the first receiver. I think everybody's kind of made it a Jeudy versus Lamb. I think when you, especially teams with defensive head coaches, will they feel that speed, you know, and I see the Chiefs a couple times a year and watch them in person, and you, obviously you see it on TV, but man, when you're in the stadium with Tyreek Hill, like you, it's just like, whoa, like you feel it. His speed won them the Super Bowl, that 3rd-and-15 play.
Oh, yeah.
It's an unbelievable play by Mahomes, but gosh, he's open by 15 yards because he puts the fear of God in the safety and wheels him around. So that's why I think Ruggs is very much in this thing to be the first receiver.
Like, where do you think the three of them go ultimately?
I think all three of them end up going in the top 15. I would feel pretty good about that. Now, the only thing you'd say is the teams that need that have a need at tackle and receiver, they'd be smart to go get the tackle now, because I think there's a handful of really good tackles, and then after that it starts to drop off. Whereas receiver, second, third round, you're still going to get quality players.
You worked in front offices, obviously. Did you see the thing with Judy today with him having the Star of David necklace?
It was weird, yeah.
Is that and he said it was because it's the pronunciation of his last name. Is that something that would raise alarm bells ahead of the pre-draft process or here at the combine?
I mean, it was just odd, you know. Like, I don't know how
bizarre.
Else to say it, but I mean, I don't. Everything I've heard about the kid at the school, you know, he's a good kid, and it's just kind of an interesting decision. I leave it at that. But he's, you know, he's character-wise, he's supposed to be really solid.
Now,
really
let's
strong
let's
there.
Dive deeper into the yeah. Star of David necklace.
Yeah, let's
topic.
Go a deep dive there. No, it was just. It was bizarre. I just put it that way. I've never – it was caught me off guard.
I mean, but is that like – is that a question during the combine 17 minutes or whatever?
Yeah,
like,
but
I think
there's no malice or anything, and it's just kind of an innocent,
right.
Interesting, odd choice.
Yeah, we all make odd fashion choices. We've got Mark Sessler over here.
My son has those shoes too, Sessler. Nice.
That was uncalled for.
He's a very fashionable 16-year-old boy.
And I want to ask you something, because I think you've noticed. I've hit you up a few times because I've been doing
wholesome
a little
assassin.
Bit. Been doing a little bit of tape study on some of these college players myself. Put a few tweets out there. Well, you know, and one thing that I suffer from, even when I watch, you know, Game Pass, and the room is it's a darkened room, a hushed room. Maybe you're watching All 22, as I like to do a lot. And suddenly you start to maybe doze off a little bit. Would you admit to ever watching some of these distant, like Iowa Tech versus Mississippi ladies, you or whatever, and they're playing each other, and you're in like quarter three and just thinking, I'm struggling to stay awake during this? Or is it all gripping to you all the time?
I will go usually it gets to some linemen, especially when you get to down the line linemen, and I like to do them by position. So when I'm watching these guys, like literally you'll spend 3 days watching offensive linemen. So at some point in time, You know, obviously you do the better players early on that you know about, so you can go a stretch where you're just seeing crappy player after crappy player after crappy player. So I will go second screen, and I will go like on a YouTube rabbit hole of, you know, stuff. So I'm just got this going on and kind of like keeping an eye over here. You can kind of binge watch a show like while you've got your lower level off.
You've always got like Jodeci in the background. You like
I do.
The mid-80s,
you know,
late,
this year,
early
this
90s.
Year, this year what's got me is –
That's so Raven.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, Raven Simone. I don't know why you would say that as some kind of a cut down. There's nothing wrong with that show. Wizards of Waverly Place, maybe. But to me, when I'm watching tape, it's normally I've got the 90s R&B is on Pandora is kind of my go-to. But this year, a lot of people, we bought the you guys have a Roomba?
Yes.
A little
van
So I never know.
Upper crust people have them, yes.
Yeah, I never know when my wife's going to launch that thing. Like, it's like a spacecraft that takes off from its home dock and goes and vacuums your whole house. So a lot of times I'm doing a video of a player and that Roomba's going around. And so a lot of people on Twitter think I'm vacuuming while I'm watching tape. I'm not going to tell them I'm not. Technically, the house, the carpet's getting vacuumed and I'm watching tape. So I'm not going to dispute that.
What's like a position group we're all hearing – this is a great wide receiver year. What is a position group that if a team is needy in a certain position that they're in a little bit of trouble in this draft, that there's not a lot of blue chip talent?
Well, I don't think there's a first-round interior offensive lineman. You know, I have Wirfs from Iowa who played tackle. I think he can be an all-pro guard. But, you know, a lot of teams will have him listed as a tackle. So I don't have a, you know, top 32 player that's an interior lineman. So that's a little bit thin. Tight end, I don't have a tight end that's worth a first-round pick, which is, you know, unusual. So those, I think there's decent depth. You get good players, but there's no, you know, premier guys. So those would be a couple positions I'd say a little bit thin.
Give us a quarterback, not Tua or Joe Burrow, that you like more than other people and why. And then maybe someone you don't like that much or that you don't think's going to – that maybe gets overdrafted
Trash
a little because they're quarterbacks.
Okay.
Kill him.
I actually like a day three pick. So we're talking now maybe in like the fifth round. It's a kid named James Morgan out of Florida International. He went down to the East-West game, was the best quarterback down there, which is kind of that second-tier all-star game. But he's 6'4", he's like 225, he's got a strong arm. He was playing through a knee, so he wasn't totally healthy. But to me, like, you're trying to find guys with some traits on day three that have a chance to be a starter. He's one of those guys. And then I'm fascinated with Jalen Hurts to see when he goes. You know, having spent time at Alabama, been at Oklahoma, guy's won a lot of football games. He can really move around and make plays. He just doesn't really throw with a lot of anticipation. You know, there's some vision things. As much as I love Joe Burrow's vision, like, that's an issue with Hurts. But the way the game's played right now, where you get a guy that can create some plays with his legs, he's got a strong arm, he can make every throw. I could see somebody saying, you know, we kind of build a little bit around him. I was talking to a team that's set at the quarterback position, but they were looking at him in that Taysom Hill type of a role. Hmm. That's the interesting thing. Like, the copycat players this year, if you're trying to say, like, who we're trying to find, some people trying to find Taysom Hill, a lot of people trying to focus on that type of a role. You've got teams trying to find their Deebo Samuel, somebody that can line up in the backfield or be in the slot. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball, you know, obviously Derwin James isn't going to come around very often, but finding those safeties that you could play at linebacker, you know, can do different things. And just to use McVay, who I don't know if I told you, I was sitting next to him at first class.
You mentioned
good
that.
Combo,
one,
you two.
Great conversation. Up. And one of the things up. He talked about was, you know, when they match you personnel-wise, like the Ravens are a great example where you can't be right, because with all those tight ends out there, you go big to match them, they're going to split everybody out and they're going to let those tight ends run by you. You go small to cover them, they're going to bring them in, they're going to run the ball down your throat. So trying to find those guys that can do those different things is what everybody's trying
to
do.
Are we at the time of year, because you're saying you know a team out there trying to find Taysom Hill 2.0, where you're just sitting on loads of explosive information where you want to, like, shout into the hole of a tree? Because how do you, like, hold on to all these secrets? Do you tell your wife everything that you know, or does someone know?
I'm sure she wants to hear everything.
I told the – and this wasn't even a secret. This is not steeped in fact, but I was literally at the doctor having if anybody had an endoscopy here, anybody, where they stick the camera?
I've had several.
Oh, well, obviously. Jeez, hello. Yeah, you know that deal. So you come into the
room. This is Chris Wessling, by the way, Daniel.
Yeah, old Mr. Endoscopy. That's what we call him.
That's really bad on my part.
No worries.
No, but so.
Hey, no, he hasn't been through anything, DJ. Real sensitive.
I've had, okay. I mean, look, cancer's one thing. Acid reflux, come talk to me when you've been there. So to me.
It came with it.
Yeah, that came with it as well.
Yeah, it was part of the
package. There's no digging out of this.
It was a bonus. DJ. It was a bonus.
Hey, there is something digging out of it, because DJ sent me as many messages as anybody when I was going through it.
No, he's the best. But so I'm in. Did you have this where you? So I don't remember the conversation with the doctor after the thing. So you.
Oh, you're knocked out.
So I get in the car. Obviously, remember that. We get home, and I tell my wife. I go, kind of weird. The doctor never came into the recovery room. So yeah, he did. I go, he did. You talked to him. You talked to him for 10 minutes. And I go, what did he say? He's like, he told you what you needed to do. Blah, blah, blah. I said, what did I say to him? He goes, you just looked at him and said, the Chargers are taking Tua. I go, what? She goes, yeah, you did. So if that happens, that doctor's going to be sitting at home going, I've known that for months.
That's awesome. Let's say goodbye to Mr. Jeremiah. But before we do, checking in on an NFL, I guess it was a Reddit type thing, Ask Me Anything conversation. Someone asked to rank the members of the Around the NFL podcast. This was your response. I've heard Colleen Wolf is on there a lot, so she's number one. Erica is technically eligible, so she's number two. After that, Wessling, Sessler, and the rest would be listed in others.
That checks out.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
Find the lie.
All right.
I mean, if I was Erica or you guys, I would almost be insulted, because he's playing this whole game where we know what game he's playing. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Why don't the
playing?
Two of you?
It's sort
just
of this like anti.
It's
sort of this like, you know, reverse psychology thing. So it lets you actually know who he's threatened by, who he you know respects,
yeah,
who
I'm
he
sure
can,
that's it.
Who he who considers that in challenger.
I love these peeks into Greg's mind.
That
it's
is
nice.
Absolute white noise.
It's very interesting. Did you not? What about the other one? Because I got two ATN questions in the hour Reddit. They were two ATN questions. Did you see the other one?
No, I missed it actually.
The other one was. Where would you rank Dan Hanses in an NFL media draft? Where would you take him in an NFL media draft? And I said I would take him in the first round. And they said, really? I said, yes, because nothing would bring me more joy than to trade into some network in Canada.
The other shoe drops. Daniel Jeremiah, you know where to find him. He's at Move the Sticks. He has a podcast, I believe, that runs during the spring. Maybe beyond that?
Sporadically?
Sporadic? I don't know.
I love it.
Check out, and he'll be on NFL Network literally every day.
Forget this. The draft. Forget that, all that stuff. So the best thing about that whole Reddit,
at
underneath those questions, if you look on it, some people wrote like, hey, when did this whole rift start? And like literally people underneath are like, no, they're friends. Like it's all, they're just having fun. And someone's like, are you sure? Like I'm like, oh, we're playing this thing well. This is nice.
You'll never know for sure. Daniel Jeremiah, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
And there he goes. The wholesome assassin, Daniel Jeremiah. Good chat with Danny.
I mean, this. I don't know if we've ever had such a likable group of guests in one program.
And let's roll into the most likable of them all. She is the queen, you know, of NFL media. A lot of people are saying that now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
Yes, she is. Of course, you know the voice. Colleen Wolf. Connie, what's up? Welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello, hello.
Connie has so much free time right now. She's just wandering around Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know,
she's like the queen of NFL media, but like the drunk cousin of the combine.
Like I'm just lost. People are asking me if I know where I am, if I know what city I'm in right now. Yeah. It's great.
You know, Greg's a bit of a sneakerhead. Colleen's got the best shoes in this suite right now.
Oh, thank you. Tell me more.
It's a nice job. Jordans.
Yeah, Jordan 3s. Wolf
Gray. The entire Wolf John Gonzalez family, much bigger sneakerhead.
No one has seen these shoes before. Yeah, this is the fourth pair of shoes that you presented to us this week. So
I do like those.
You're in the running.
Wolf Gray on top of it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Double wolf.
All right, Connie is here. You know why she's here. She is at the center of one of the great promotions in the history of podcasts. Build a theme song for Connie for this show. It will be the song that she, every time she appears on the show going forward, will, what's the word I'm looking for? Will blank her arrival. Will
announce
her arrival. That's a good one.
It's not like walk-up music. For.
It was a P word I was looking for.
Present?
No. I don't know. We'll never know. It's over. It's gone. I missed the opportunity.
Mad Lib's gone awry.
Yes, exactly. Connie, here you are. And so far, we're going to listen to one more set of entries. We have closed, of course. We have closed off any more entries. Again, do not send any in.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad. I didn't tweet about it at all to promote it. I also haven't tweeted really anything at all. So you can follow me at Colleen Wolf.
We've got enough.
We're going to listen to one more batch of songs, and then we'll work it out with your schedule when we get back to L.A.
I'm very busy.
And we will. I'm sure you are. We will then finally make the selection, the song, maybe next week, maybe the week after. We'll figure it out. But today, Erica went through our Gmail, theatnpodcast@gmail.com. For the last batch of contenders. Do we want to get into it?
I can't
Please.
Wait. Yes.
All right. Let's get it going. Ricky Hollywood.
Colleen Wolf, gonna hit you with a Colleen Wolf, gonna hit you with a Cutting Fox, the DNF, Billy Queen, coming to the around the NFL machine with her boy Gonzo. She's an unstoppable force, screaming for the Eagles till her voice turns hoarse. The history is rich, but her story is fame. We're here with Tiny Fox, and she's ahead of the game.
Bit of an industrial Nine Inch Nails.
Like 311, sort of? No, maybe not.
Yeah, in terms of like the rhyming.
I like the Philly Queen line. That was great. Not bad. These are all so good.
Not something you want to like hear a million times. Though,
well, so that comment right there. It's like there is someone out there
necessary.
In like Central Tennessee that spent like 25 hours putting that together. And,
I mean,
like, whole heart and soul has been put into it. And Greg, just with one like destroys the person. I mean, it's fine. It was fine.
I mean, they're going to be wondering why they didn't make the finals and what they can do to improve for next time.
More cutting analysis.
Hey,
I
Simon Cowell is the engine that makes the show go. Greg's got to play that role.
All right.
I like the lyrics.
Somebody's got to be the bad guy. And I thought it was a very nice entry. Don't know if it makes the finals. But thank you to whoever sent that in. Up next, Ricky.
She can tell us about all the teams which have a history that is very rich.
I love this.
She's married to some guy called Gonzo. Who is he? Well, how should I know? She's got about 1,000 shows on TV. Most in L.A., at least one in Miami. Comedy Fox. She grew up on the Philly docks. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That was like a little Billy Joel-y.
It was.
I liked it.
And it also was, here's what the only thing that's going to work against this gentleman.
Oh, no, you can't say anything critical.
go ahead, Greg. Kill him. Go ahead.
One thing that has surprised me is the level of production in a lot of these songs.
Absolutely.
And how much work has gone into making them sound like songs you would almost hear on the radio or from a commercial or a radio jingle. And I really love the song structure and the melody and the songwriting, but it did have more of a demo feel to it. And what we're looking for is a finished product. Like, I would almost say, like, would he be a guy that I would, you know, say, hey, do you want to take another crack at it and maybe put some bells and whistles on it and really produce it? Because I loved the melody, I have to say.
It was simple. I wonder if he played the piano himself to do it. Like
I bet
he did.
You know,
the way I mark a good song is, does it make me bob my head? Am I going with the beat here? Mm-hmm. And that's what I did with this song. It was a little jaunty, which I liked.
I like jaunty.
A jaunty tune. And so I was a fan of it.
I thought it sounded good. He could make a cleaner one. It also is a little different than the ones that have made our finals. I thought it was delightful.
Very different.
It stands out.
I would say if he submitted a second one with it, it was a little bit, and we're on these headsets, a little bit raw sound-wise, but wanted to take another shot at that, I loved it.
Sound like a demo, but a very promising demo. And will that be enough to get that person into the finals?
Well, I think so.
We'll find out.
I think so.
Erica, number 3.
Who's coming on the podcast today? Tell me about. Who's coming on the podcast today? TNF host Nathan Dunn. This is like John Gonzalez. I'm inside.
Very musical.
That was very produced.
Very produced.
Yeah. That was very like NERD, like Neptunes early, yes. Like 2000s.
You know, I was hearing a little mid to late period Justin Timberlake there.
Sure.
Did you pick up on that, Ricky?
That's same producer.
She's shaking her head or nodding her head. I like that.
That was a fun one. It was a little different. It was very different than the second one. The second one I just thought was it was kind of bad, but it was good. Like, I liked it because it was raw.
I feel like Colleen's voice in this should count like triple.
Absolutely.
Compared to any of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I do like to hear the lyrics. Right. I think that's a fun part of it. I couldn't hear it as well there.
It was hard to decipher. I liked the beat, but you couldn't decipher the words as much.
It was like a cool and edgier version, though. Which I liked.
I like that it was
different.
I'm
not cool or edgy, though.
We've had... No,
so problematic.
You're not, but that is not the measure of you as a woman. Don't worry about that.
Thank you, Dan.
Tell me how I should measure myself
as a woman.
I have been really impressed
with... didn't answer her question.
I'm thinking about it. She kind of got me. I've been really impressed with the varied genres of the songs.
No, that was produced beautifully.
Okay, how many? Do we have another one? Got a couple more. Okay, go ahead.
Colleen Wolf is coming, we drive the pack. Gonna teach us a lesson, history is rich. Colleen Wolf is coming, she's Philly's best. Here one moment, and guns are the next kind of fox.
That's fantastic.
Wes, a little bit of a jazzy element there.
That was like a dinner jazz, and it had a little bit of a Nina Simone feel to it.
Yes.
A
little bit.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in a like underground like jazz lounge. Yes. I had to go downstairs. It was red.
It's like
Nikki
Blaine's right here in Indianapolis.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like I've inappropriately hushed Greg, something is bubbling.
Well,
up
this
here.
One,
are,
yeah. Let's calm down, with Nina Simone here.
Oh, there's the
this
one.
This is like late, you know, I don't. Yeah, this is like what happened to Nina Simone. Nina Simone.
That's fair.
The jazzy element, though, it speaks to my washed-up socialite type routine, and I like that.
We have to get Greg in like a skin-tight white T-shirt where you can see his nipples, like Simon Cowell.
What?
Like, we got to get
for
we,
multiple
he's got to go
reasons.
Full Cowell.
I vote no.
I have been thinking about getting like years and years of plastic surgery so that I look like a half monster, half man.
Greg Rosenthal mask.
Really keep people off balance.
All right, that was a interesting one.
Connie. Go ahead, tell all your friends. The history is very rich. You're living it up in Miami. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Go ahead and tell all your friends. Connie Fox.
Wow.
First 8 seconds were maybe some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, that around. Is.
Was that on the last Arcade Fire?
No, that was Greg? That was very Ben Folds.
Is that on the reflector?
Ben Folds rocking the suburbs era. That was great.
It started and it felt like something we would be playing at like a WrestleMania.
Yes.
And then it took a little bit of a turn.
There were some
little.
Lyrics that seemed to didn't keep
it
you
felt,
with the song, Colleen.
It felt a little unfinished lyrically.
A little noisy.
But we all got really excited when
the
it
first
started.
Yeah, the first 7 or 8 seconds no, I, yes. were great. It I did, think it was fun.
It made me feel something.
Yeah.
Okay, one more? I got three. All right, well let's we're going to go song by song at this point, you know. let's see where we're at. Next up.
More Ben Folds.
Connie's here. She's gonna piece it all together for us. Finally, someone we can trust. Connie's here.
French
Why
horn.
Are all these animals smiling? What could they be hiding? Connie Fox will solve the puzzle.
Oh, I love it.
Whoa.
Sorry. Connie is a very...
Mark, how long did it take you to write that?
I wanted to say something. Last night when we were out at this like shishi steak bar thing, I at one point talked to Connie and she was just like, I don't do small talk. And you were legit kind of panicking. And like I think that song kind of captured that great non-egotistical essence of Connie where it's like awkwardness rules sometimes. And that song hit it.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was a finalist. That
and he knows struck, I love a puzzle.
Mark, you hit it so well. That was so well put because Colleen's personality was captured within those 30 seconds.
The horn coming in was a big surprise. I mean, that was a band.
Yeah.
It sort of had a, like an 80s TV theme show vibe to
and,
it.
Yeah.
And one thing I understood that. Was that this is an intro to Colleen coming on the show, which I do think is a plus.
It's like something some that of them, I could listen to a lot.
Some of them aren't well necessary like Here She Comes. That one did.
I think we're sending that one straight to the finals.
Yeah,
for
okay.
sure.
Congratulations to whoever that is. Let's listen to one more. One more. Here we go.
Who let the wolf outside its box? Don't look now, boys. It's Connie Fox. Oh, she's just the face of the network. Got my boy Eisen looking for work. Billy girl in L.A. taking all the cake. She wants all the fame, but let's get her paid, y'all. This girl's fly. She ain't no Bronco and eagle at heart, just like my boy Gonzo. But Gonzo, yo, he's gonna be gone, bro. Eagle. It's a tiny box.
Wait,
over
what?
Here for Fletcher Cox. It's Connie Fox.
Did he just put a hit on my husband? What just happened?
He's God, bro. And then what happened with Fletcher Cox? I think we need to listen to that again.
Just, I love our listeners.
I don't, cause we're, it's
I
don't
so
think,
awesome.
I don't
crazy,
think,
every one
there's,
of them.
Yeah, there's a few reasons why that probably can't be the one we listen.
Don't look now, boys. It's Connie Fox. Oh, she's just the face of the network. Got my boy Eisen looking for work.
Another reason
that's
we
a problem. That's
taking
a problem.
All the cake. She wants all the fame, but let's get her paid, y'all. This girl's fly. Ooh, she ain't no reference. Bronco and eagle at heart, just like my boy Gonzo. But Gonzo, yo, he's gonna be gone, bro. He gone. If a tiny box ever hears from Fletcher Cox. It's Connie Fox.
What was that Fletcher Cox line?
He said Gonzo's going to be gone, bro. Then went with the Wes he gone
yep.
if she ever gets with Fletcher Cox because she's going to be Cox Fox.
What?
Fox. That's amazing.
The Greg breakdown. Amazing.
He did.
Was really
Colleen
good.
Fox Cox. That would be your name.
They had a lot going in 30
so
seconds.
So much great stuff in there.
Really packed a lot
if
in there.
If Mark wrote the piano one, I think that would have been mine. That was
very
dense. That was great. He had like three unnecessary shots, ended with like a joke sort of. It was great.
Here you go.
Wow.
Super creative.
Suddenly
was
Gonzo
amazing,
was gone.
Though. Oh, it's, you know. What happened to John?
John is in trouble
Cox,
in this song.
In this scenario.
Cox came in and that was it, huh?
Gonzo was out. Well, that makes you a little uncomfortable, obviously. You're John's
there's
the love
a few
of your life.
Things. There's yeah. a few, like the eyes and things.
Yeah.
I don't
but
want
I was,
to know that's...
I think that was very entertaining for this show. It was great that we got it in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they who know knows, their audience.
Like I said, just because a song doesn't win doesn't mean it will not show up again down the line. Because what I have not made clear in the rules is that we now have complete ownership of all of these songs. So we reserve the right to play them in perpetuity. If we so desire.
We've solved our music issue.
Yeah. Thank you for doing the work for us.
All right. So that is the everything you heard. We kind of decided that will be the group that we'll choose from. And then maybe what are we going to narrow it down to? Five finalists?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. seems fair,
feels
right?
good.
And then Colleen will figure out a date next Friday. How about next Friday? You around?
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll figure that offline. But
we have figured out a prize, which we're not going to reveal.
Let's reveal that on that show.
Yeah.
Because it's a great idea that you had, and I think it could be a home run. Logistically a little tricky, but a home run if we could pull it off.
We got to figure some things out.
All right. That's it. This is our last we have one more show coming up this week. It is, the Free Agency 101 countdown list with Greg and Wes. And a little tease, there will be maybe a second 101 list to keep your eyes on.
202.
So 202.
To keep you real. How about that?
So that is coming up tomorrow, the annual Greg and Wes Free Agency 101 episode that will be completely about that fine list by the gentleman, which is actually up right now at NFL.com/
NFL.com/ top 101 free agents.
Yes. That's a mouthful. All right. Colleen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing all this music into my life.
You did a 20-minute walk for this.
I did. I kind of, let's be honest, I needed to.
You got your exercise in. And
I needed to get out of my hotel room.
That's good. And we will have one more night here in Indianapolis. And then, we'll be back in L.A. and we'll have a lot of fun.
How long are you here, Colleen?
I'm here until Monday.
You're on NFL.
You look excited.
I am. Yeah. I am. I'm just gearing up, you know?
Network.
It's a big week ahead.
I hope you like gray weather.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do, as it turns out.
All right. Thank you, Connie.
Who let the wolf outside? It's Fox.
Stan Hansen signing off.
Four. It's Connie Fox.
Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Thursday.
Getting all the cake, she wants all the fame, but let's get her paid, y'all. This girl's fly. She ain't no Bronco, an eagle at heart, just like my boy Gonzo. But Gonzo, yo, he's gonna be gone, bro. He gon' if a tiny box ever hears from Fletcher Cox, it's Connie Fox.